Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. Back when Matthew was in the Navy, I used to read the Navy Times pretty regularly. And there's a quote that I read in there one time, and it said this: "The important thing is to be able to sacrifice what we are for what we could be." Now, I mention this quote because it put me in mind of how our lives are undergoing a constant process of change, whether or not we like it. This quote reminds us to embrace that idea of change in our lives. Now, Luther also thought that life included change. And in the first of the 95 theses that he posted on the castle church door in Wittenberg in 1517, he talked about one particular change that affects the whole of a person's life. That first theses states, "When our Lord and Master Jesus Christ said, 'Repent,' excuse me, he called for the entire life of believers to be one of repentance." In today's gospel lesson, twice we hear Jesus say, "But unless you repent, you too will all perish." Repentance is to be the believer's lifestyle. Repentance keeps us focused on the cross of Christ. And in that way alone, we are given strength in the face of temptation and, excuse me, given the path to forgiveness when we fail. Repentance, with its two parts, sorrow for sin and trusting God's forgiveness through Jesus' death and resurrection, points to what Paul spoke in the epistle lesson today. He said, "No temptation has overtaken you except what is common to mankind, and God is faithful. He will not let you be tempted beyond what you can bear. But when you are tempted, he will also provide a way out so that you can endure it." The way out that God has provided is by the cross of Christ. Living with our face always toward the cross is the way that God has provided for us to stand up under temptation when it comes our way. And temptation will come our way. It simply doesn't give up on us when we become Christians. In fact, that's when temptation puts us squarely in its sights. But there are some things to bear in mind when it comes to temptation, and these things are very important. So I want you to pay careful attention here. These three things are very important. The first is, temptation is not sin. Temptation is not sin. Say it with me. Temptation is not sin. Very important. Number two, temptation is not a toy. It isn't something we can play at or play with. We are not the master of temptation. It's not something we can invite in and think we are in control of it. Like playing with fire. Those who play with fire, who treat it with disrespect, they get burned. Jesus treated temptation with the respect of answering it with Holy Scripture. And like Jesus, we are not the cause of temptation that comes to us. Number three, temptation is nothing for which we need be ashamed, nor do we need to try and hide it from God. This is vital in our struggle against sin. Again, temptation is nothing we need to try and hide from God. We all remember that Jesus was tempted and did not sin. Now, we, of course, aren't him. So temptation can quickly lead you and I to sin. The way to bear up under it is to turn our face toward God with the temptation that comes our way. And I'm going to say it again. Temptation is not something we need to try and hide from God. Only when we seek His face, when we point our posture at the cross of Christ, do we focus then on His grace, and that helps to put an obstacle into temptation's repeated attacks. It puts an obstacle between us and sin. So we turn to Him when temptation comes to us. The cross of Christ, like I just said, the cross of Christ is the barrier that stands between us and sin, not between us and temptation. The cross stands between us and sin, not between us and temptation. However, knowing ourselves, we oftentimes go around the safety of that barrier by our own choice. We talked about that quite a lot last week. We often choose sin when temptation comes, forgetting that unrepentant sin can lead to eternal damnation. And so when we do choose sin, God, through repentance, provides us the way to return to Him. And on top of that, He gives us time. He gives us time to be repentant, as Jesus pointed out in the parable of the fig tree in the gospel lesson today. Recall what the gardener, who is understood to be Jesus, recall what he says to the owner. "Sir," the man replied, "leave it alone for one more year, and I'll dig around it and fertilize it. If it bears fruit next year, fine. If not, then cut it down." God the Father has long suffered man's rebellion and sin. In telling this parable, Jesus makes it clear that God is giving us time to become fruit-bearing for Him. Otherwise, we'd be cut down and thereby eternally separated from God. But it's by the work of Christ that we become alive and nourished and fruit-bearing. So He gives us time to repent and return to Him and to hear His promises. This is what He says in Psalm 85. "I will listen to what God the Lord will say. He promises peace to His people, His saints. But let them not return to folly." It's that part about not returning to folly that can trip us up. He again gives us time to repent. So why? Why do we so often foolishly turn from His compassion and waste our time in fear? We're given all that we need through a life of repentance to return to Him and His ways of peace. His peace. His peace stays with us through the cross. Like the rock that provided water for the Israelites in the desert that Paul referred to in the epistle lesson, that rock, which is Christ, followed Israel in their desert wanderings. So also the cross of Christ is before us wherever we go, calling us back constantly to God's mercy and his grace paid for on that holy tree. By living in repentance, as Luther reminded us, living in repentance makes us aware that God's mercy is with us each day of our lives, just as that rock of refreshment did for the wandering children of Israel. I want to go back to the Navy Times quote. It said, "The important thing is to be able to sacrifice what we are for what we could be." This quote can help us understand what's at stake in repentance. We are giving up our old ways in order to gain the way God would have us go. And besides, what is it that we're really sacrificing in giving up our old ways? It is nothing but sinful dung and rot that can lead us away from God and into hell. To give up our childish, selfish, and sinful ways and to live under the grace of the cross of Christ is God's gracious call to us. What we could be, giving up our sinful selves, is what God has guaranteed that we will become in the cross. He makes us his children and co-heirs with Christ of eternal life. That is what we could be, and indeed what we are, and what we have by grace through faith alone. Remember that repentance is not a one-time act of initiation for God's people. It's how we live every day of our lives. That's because we live in a sinful world, and daily we must struggle against our sinful flesh. Repentance is the posture that we take in life. Have you ever seen a bird sleeping on a perch? Have you ever wondered what keeps it from falling off the branch it's sleeping on? The secret to that is in the tendons in the bird's legs. They're constructed in such a way that when the leg is bent at the knee, the talons on the bird's feet contract and grip the branches like a steel trap. The talons will not let go until the knees are unbent again. Bended knees give birds the ability to hold on to their perch tightly and not fall off, even while sleeping. The person who daily and humbly bends their knee before the Lord, confessing their sin and receiving by faith God's forgiveness and grace, they too will rest. They will rest secure in the gift of eternal life that God desires for every single person, even though many refuse that gift. By God's grace alone, repentance is to be our lifestyle. The bended knee is our lifestyle. Recall that repentance always has two parts. Sorrow for sin and trust in God's forgiveness through Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection. Remember also, when temptation comes our way, it is not sin. But also, temptation is not a toy. We need not fear it, nor be shamed by it, but we turn to the Lord with it, and let his cross deal with it. As the quote we started with this morning reminds us, sacrificing what we are for what we could be has been done for us in the sacrifice of Christ's death and His resurrection in our place. In His name we pray. Amen. May the word